This is Bad Cop No Donut for the week of August 4th, 2005.
Aye, freeze! Police!
Bad Cop
No Donut!
Bad. Cop.
No. Donut!
It's under law! And I rule!
With your weekly wrap-up of North American police brutality, misconduct, and corruption, I'm Ron Anisich at CKLN in Toronto. A Riverside, California police officer was sentenced last Friday to more than 30 years in prison in a federal child sex and pornography case. An Associated Press report says that court records indicate Officer Adam Brown flew to Wisconsin on two occasions to have sex with boys. In March, he pleaded guilty to one count of crossing state lines to have sex with a child and one count of producing child pornography. On Friday, an LAPD Board of Rights recommended that an officer videotaped beating a suspect with a flashlight be fired from his job. An Associated Press report says that Officer John Hatfield was found guilty of using unnecessary force in the incident. Hatfield struck a man 11 times with the flashlight after a high-speed chase in June 2004. The district attorney declined to charge Hatfield in the incident, claiming that there was insufficient evidence. LAPD officers are now prohibited from using their flashlights as weapons, except in emergency situations. Civil rights leaders in California have issued a report which recommends standardized collection of data regarding racial profiling and monthly psychological testing for police officers. According to an Associated Press report, the report released by the California NAACP on Friday was aimed at reducing the number of incidents of police brutality. The report also accused police departments of screening new recruits poorly. The report calls on legislators to revive a state law that would mandate standardized collection of racial profiling data on a statewide basis. A former California Highway Patrol officer pleaded guilty last Tuesday to a child pornography charge. The San Diego Union-Tribune says that David Broomfield worked as a CHP officer in the 80s until he was found guilty of sexual battery of a child. In March 2004, investigators found images of child pornography on a computer seized from Broomfield's home. He will be sentenced on August 29th. A Utah Highway Patrol trooper was arrested on Friday for defrauding the Utah Highway Patrol Association of more than $30,000. The Salt Lake Tribune reports that Trooper Donald Sagendorf was the treasurer of the nonprofit organization for 2 years ending in August 2004. He has admitted that he used the association's money for his personal use. A fraud investigator eventually uncovered the crime, which emptied the organization's bank account completely. Sagendorf was subsequently fired from the Highway Patrol. A sheriff's deputy in Griggs County, North Dakota, is facing charges after leading police on a high-speed chase on the 4th of July. According to an Associated Press report, Deputy Bob Hook has been charged with fleeing in a motor vehicle, leaving the scene of an injury accident, reckless driving, and speeding. Hook will appear in court on Monday and is expected to plead guilty to the charges. A Holcomb, Missouri police officer was arrested last week and is expected to be charged with assault and trespassing. The Daily Dunklin Democrat reports that Officer Jamie DeCourley was intoxicated at a woman's home when the woman asked him to leave. He returned to the home a short time later in an angered state and allegedly grabbed the woman in a violent manner. A police officer in Detroit, Michigan, was sentenced to 220 months in prison this week for his part in the theft of drugs from the police evidence room. The Associated Press reports that Officer Donald Hines was convicted in March of conspiracy to distribute cocaine, distribution of cocaine, conspiracy to steal, embezzle, and convert police property, embezzling and converting police property, conspiracy to launder money, and making false declarations to a grand jury. Between 1994 and 2000, Hines is accused of helping a civilian police employee steal more than 100 kilograms of cocaine from the police evidence room, which the pair sold for more than $840,000. The Toledo, Ohio Police Department has been accused of helping the local Catholic diocese cover up sex abuse for decades. A report in the Toledo Blade found 5 instances where police covered up allegations of sexual abuse. 4 former Toledo police officers claimed that a former chief had an unwritten policy of never arresting Catholic priests. One claimed that officers would have been fired if they ever violated this rule. In Toledo, no priests were ever arrested for sexual abuse prior to 1984. 5 men who were arrested by Athens, Ohio police in 2003 have filed a lawsuit accusing Athens police officers of misconduct. According to the Athens News, the 5 claim they were arrested and charged with reckless operation of a vehicle based on the word of a police department employee. The charge is a non-arrestable offense, but the 5 were arrested and detained for 90 minutes. During that time, the police employee who reported their conduct entered the room and laughed at them several times. The lawsuit claims that the men suffered a loss of freedom and liberty, mental anguish, humiliation, fear, inconvenience, and expenses, and also had their civil rights violated. The lawsuit also says the 5 were arrested and imprisoned falsely and is seeking compensation for damages as well as legal costs. A Springfield, Vermont police officer pleaded guilty to mail fraud and identity theft last Thursday. The Associated Press reports that Officer Robert Lagerstedt used 2 stolen identities and wore a wig as a disguise when he opened up an account and took out a loan from a bank in New Hampshire. The officer's wife is also charged in connection with the fraud. Lagerstedt will be sentenced on October 27th. A police officer in Providence, Rhode Island, has been sentenced to 9 years in prison for a scheme to rob drug dealers. The Providence Journal says that Officer Robert Autieri pleaded no contest last month to 7 felony charges relating to robberies in the area he patrolled in January 2004. He was fired from the department after his plea. 2 co-conspirators would lure drug dealers into deals which would be interrupted by Autieri. The officer would then steal the cash, drugs, and weapons and split the proceeds with the other 2 men. In addition to the 9-year prison sentence handed down last Tuesday, Autieri will also have to pay a fine of over $10,000. A police officer in Auburn, New York, who has since retired, was charged on Friday with coercing a woman into posing nude and having sex with him while he was still on the job. WRWB reports that Officer James Moore is accused of writing a contract detailing sexual activities and threatened the woman with criminal prosecution if she did not comply. Police say that the victim reported the abuse to officers who responded to a domestic violence complaint earlier this month. Moore is facing multiple sexual abuse charges.
They were in a dressing room that wasn't back away from everything. It was just out in the store with a door separating them from the shopping area. They saw a shoe come under their dressing room door, which they thought had a camera in it. They got one of the clerks. They alerted mall security. They were calm. They were cool. They gave a great description.
A Newark, New Jersey police officer was arrested in Greece, New York on Saturday for allegedly taking pictures of girls getting changed in a shopping mall dressing room. The Rochester Democrat and Chronicle says that Officer Robert Ross was apprehended after 2 girls noticed a man's shoe with a camera attached to it underneath the dressing room door while they were getting dressed. Ross has been charged with unlawful surveillance and has been suspended without pay from his job. A sheriff's officer in Hudson County, New Jersey, was placed on desk duty last week and is facing criminal and internal charges in connection with an incident earlier this month where she's accused of running over her boyfriend. The Jersey Journal says that Officer Alicia Cruz tried to run over her married boyfriend when she became enraged when he would not spend the night with her. She initially drove her car into his several times. When he got out of his car, she drove her car into him, but he was not seriously injured. Cruz has been charged with driving while intoxicated, aggravated assault, assault with an automobile, and refusing to take a breath test. She's also facing internal charges of conduct unbecoming an officer. Her weapon was also taken away pending the outcome of the criminal charges. An Erie, Pennsylvania police officer was arrested on Friday after allegedly assaulting his estranged wife and pointing a gun at her male friend. WJET reports that Officer Ed Dickens has been charged with simple assault, aggravated assault, reckless endangerment, harassment, and making terroristic threats. Dickens is accused of entering his ex-wife's home early Friday and physically attacking both his wife and her friend. He left, but returned later and threatened the friend again with a gun. A St. Mary's, Pennsylvania police officer is facing charges after a collision between her police cruiser and an ATV on Monday. The Ridgeway Record says that Officer Julia Day pulled her police cruiser into the path of an oncoming ATV. The driver of the ATV suffered serious head injuries. The officer was not injured. The president of the police union in Easton, Pennsylvania, was suspended without pay for 10 days after he called the local police chief a derogatory name. According to the Allentown Morning Call, union president Dominic Maricini used the colorful language while criticizing the chief's decision to disband the department's SWAT team. That decision was taken after an Easton SWAT officer was fatally shot at a police station by a fellow officer. A Baltimore County, Maryland police officer was charged last Thursday with sexually abusing a student at a middle school where he worked. The Baltimore Sun reports that Officer James Blankenship has been charged with second-degree sex offense, third-degree sex offense, sexual abuse of a minor, and perverted practice. The officer's victim was a 13-year-old boy who was a student at the middle school where Blankenship worked when the boy was befriended by the officer. The boy told police that the officer once made him perform a sex act on him twice in one day and detailed other sexual abuse at the officer's hands. Blankenship has been suspended from his job without pay and is currently being held in custody on $30,000 bail.
Billy's going to let you borrow his vest that Monday night. That way we'll both have vests going into that month. $200,000 in that house, we're looking at about $66,000 apiece.
There's some good money in that house, I'll tell you that.
If you want a bigger share of it, me and Billy are open to that. This is your idea.
We'll do it fair.
A police officer in Memphis, Tennessee, was sentenced to 14 years in prison on Friday. WPTY reports that Officer David Tate pleaded guilty in June to extortion, conspiracy, and transporting drugs. A separate pornography charge against Tate was dropped in exchange for his plea. Tate admitted that he ran drugs and prostitutes across state lines and planned to rob and possibly kill a local professional wrestler. Two other Memphis police officers who conspired with Tate, Billy Scott and John Vaughn, pleaded guilty earlier this year. Two sheriff's deputies in Robeson County, North Carolina, who are at the center of a federal investigation over misuse of funds seized in drug raids, have resigned. WRAL reports that deputies James Hunt and Billy Hunt resigned last week. In March, state agents raided the Robeson County Sheriff's Office drug unit and seized evidence. Both of the deputies who have resigned worked in the same unit. So far, the two deputies are not facing any criminal charges. Police in Raleigh, North Carolina, cited a 73-year-old woman last week for misdemeanor obstruction after she questioned the identity of an officer who came to her door. WRAL reports that an officer went to the elderly woman's home late at night to question her about damage to a neighbor's fence. The woman says she called 911 to confirm that the person at her door was really a police officer after becoming concerned about the man's behavior. A police officer in Bowman, South Carolina, was arrested last Tuesday and is facing a number of charges in connection with sexual activity with a 14-year-old girl. According to WIST, Officer Harry Tucker was charged with misconduct in office, kidnapping, assault with intent to commit criminal sexual conduct, and committing a lewd act on a minor. The warrant for Tucker's arrest accuses the officer of taking the girl to the Bowman Police Department and holding her there against her will. While there, he is accused of forcing the girl to take off her pants while he fondled her breasts and rubbed against her. Tucker was on duty at the time of the incident. He is currently free on bond. An Atlanta, Georgia police officer was found guilty of three armed robberies last Thursday. An Associated Press report says that Stanley Street stole $137,000 during three robberies last summer while he was carrying a firearm and wearing a ski mask and gloves. Prosecutors say that Street used the proceeds from the robberies in an attempt to save his failing private security business. Street, who has remained in custody since his arrest 11 months ago, is facing up to 50 years in jail when he is sentenced on October 5th. A police officer in Fruitland Park, Florida, was fired last Thursday after leaving her three daughters at home with a loaded handgun. An Associated Press report says that sheriff's deputies were called to the home of Officer Marie Cassinger when her children reported hearing a prowler outside. Deputies arrived to find the oldest daughter wearing the officer's bulletproof vest and another daughter holding the officer's gun. Cassinger's badge, gun, and uniform were taken from her, and she is to appear in court later this month to answer a charge of unsafe storage of a firearm.
I heard I mean, I didn't hear cash. I heard
for the record, the juvenile probation officer heard him say it. You know, and I think it's inappropriate that these officers come in a court of law in front of your honor and are going to threaten these children. They're in handcuffs. They're in custody. You know, they have, I don't understand how even the state attorney could possibly defend that behavior. That is just unacceptable.
A Fort Lauderdale, Florida police officer will be fired later this month because of a racist threat he uttered in a courtroom more than 2 years ago. WPLG reports that Officer Robert Hoffman will be fired on August 22nd, almost 2.5 years after he threatened a juvenile offender in a courtroom. Four witnesses claimed that they heard Hoffman tell the youth that he was going to get his black ass. A videotape of the incident confirmed that the officer leaned over and whispered something to the young man. The chief of the Fort Lauderdale Police Department believes that Hoffman made the threat and has described Hoffman as an officer who cannot be trusted. A police officer in Florence, Alabama, resigned on Friday after being accused of sexual misconduct by four women, three of whom are city employees. The Tuscaloosa News says that Officer Spence Butler has been on paid leave since June when the first complaint was filed. Two of the women complained that the officer forced them to engage in non-consensual sex. The other two complaints were made by women who claimed that the officer tried to kiss them. The four women have all filed claims against the city, and several investigations are underway. A Lafayette, Louisiana police officer was arrested on drug charges on Tuesday. An Associated Press report says that Officer John Richard has been charged with possession of the prescription painkiller Lortab. Richard has been on paid leave since June 16th. Three other officers were also placed on leave at that time after becoming the focus of an internal affairs investigation. The investigation was the result of a complaint involving a downtown nightclub where several Lafayette officers worked security while they were off duty. The former chief of police in Kiowa, Oklahoma, was arrested and charged with driving under the influence of alcohol on Saturday. The McAllister News Capital says that Michael Sexton was over the legal limit when he was stopped and taken into custody. Sexton pleaded not guilty to the charge on Monday and will appear in court again on August 30th. Following his arrest, he was freed on a $500 bond. A Denton County, Texas police officer was arrested on Thursday for arranging a sexual encounter with a child. The Denver Post reports that Officer Larry Floyd is facing charges of criminal solicitation, solicitation of a child, and enticement of a child. Floyd arranged to meet the child by email, but the child turned out to be an undercover police officer. He is being held on $100,000 bail. A police officer at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, Texas, was arrested last Thursday after allegedly threatening patrons of a bar at gunpoint. KSAT reports that Officer John Aponte left a bar to find his windshield destroyed before re-entering the bar and firing several shots from his service weapon while demanding to know what happened to his car. When a bartender attempted to reach for a phone, Aponte pointed his gun at a patron before firing another shot into a beer cooler. He left the bar and was arrested later at his home. He's charged with aggravated assault and criminal mischief and is currently being held on $25,000 bond.
On that night, he went beyond and above the call of duty. He did everything about as good as you could do it, except for one minor thing, after he lost his best friend and a fellow officer.
A sheriff's deputy in Otero County, New Mexico, will plead guilty to a charge of voluntary manslaughter. An Associated Press report says Deputy Billy Anders killed a man who had killed his partner minutes earlier. A judge told Anders that he had to enter a plea on Monday, or he would face additional federal civil rights charges with greater penalties. Prosecutors claim that Anders had already shot the man, had him in handcuffs, and that the man was not a threat to the deputy when the deputy shot him a second time at close range, killing him. A report from the local medical examiner said that the victim's body was in handcuffs when it arrived for an autopsy. It is expected that Anders will serve no more than 7 years in prison.
All of them, they talk like 5 years old, man. None of them was telling the truth, you know, I was really, really disappointed. Like, officers wearing the uniform of this country lying in front of the church, and then it's wearing on the Bible. You know, that's horrible, man.
Not all officers are part of it, but most of them are. It's very, very strong, and it basically says you support your brothers, and there are a few sisters in the police ranks, no matter what they do.
A judge found a Toronto police officer guilty of assault last Thursday. According to the Toronto Star, Constable Roy Preston was also accused by the judge of using excessive force in the incident. The Somali man who was the victim of the officer's assault was charged by police with assaulting an officer, but prosecutors dropped that charge after they reviewed a videotape of the incident filmed by tourists who happened to be in the donut store outside of which Preston's assault on the man took place. The judge accused Preston and other Toronto police officers who testified in his defense of offering unreliable and fabricated evidence while calling the victim's testimony credible and reliable. When the victim of the beating arrived at court to hear the judge's verdict, he found the courtroom was packed with officers who had come out to support Preston and who literally closed the door to the courtroom in the man's face. After the verdict was read, police ushered Preston out of a back door so that he could avoid the media.
We've got to find other ways to be able to approach an incident in a way that's not going to create more victims of violence.
This could be the first case in the city of San Jose where there's a direct linkage between taser and a death. We don't know that for sure now, but it certainly is a possibility. Tasers result in an escalation of force. We really want to see police try to de-escalate situations so that at the end of the contact with a person, nobody's dead.
We're still using tasers on a limited basis with our sergeants, but we are not issuing out any more tasers.
We are a small municipality. We spent nearly $10,000 on these particular guns, and we want to recoup our money back for our village and for the taxpayers here.
It's probably one of the tools that officers can use in a situation that would be less than lethal force. There are a number of types of devices like this, and this is just merely another one. And, used correctly, it's very effective.
I don't think any human being watching this story will say nothing wrong was done to this father, this homeowner, this husband. Let's have a jury look at this case.
Stop resisting!
A man in San Jose, California, died on Monday after police used a taser while attempting to take him into custody. A man in Fremont, California, remains in critical condition in hospital after being shocked with a taser by police there on Friday. New reports from authorities and witnesses say that a man who died in police custody in Lancaster, South Carolina on July 23rd was shocked more than once with a taser. A 67-year-old woman who was shocked with a taser by Kansas City, Missouri police officers last year after she honked her horn at a police cruiser was given a sentence of 1 year's probation this week. The woman's lawyer plans to appeal the sentence. A 16-year-old in Salinas, California, has filed a claim against the Monterey County Sheriff's Department and the Salinas Police Department, which alleges that deputies and officers used excessive force. The boy claims he was repeatedly shocked with multiple tasers by a group of police officers in February. Four witnesses to a February incident where a 14-year-old boy had a heart attack after being shocked by a Chicago police officer with a taser say that the boy posed no threat to officers. The witnesses said in sworn court documents that the boy was sitting on a couch when he was shocked with one of the weapons. These statements contradict the police officer's report, in which he said he used the taser because he was in fear for his safety. The boy spent 3 days in a coma after suffering a heart attack after receiving the 50,000-volt shock from the stun gun. A medical examiner in Cook County, Illinois, has determined that a taser caused the death of a man who died after he was shocked with one of the weapons by Chicago police on February 10th. This is believed to be the first ruling of its kind in North America. The man died after being shocked with a taser twice, once for 5 seconds, and then again for a continuous 57 seconds. The medical examiner plans to meet with Chicago police to ask them to stop using the devices on people who appear to be mentally unbalanced or under the influence of drugs. A 3-page document produced in June by Taser International, the company which manufactures tasers for North America's police departments, has been posted on the company's website and sent to the company's nearly 20,000 certified trainers, which contradicts earlier statements made by the company. The new memo admits that multiple shots with a taser can impair breathing and lead to death. The bulletin also describes other injuries which could be caused by prolonged or repeated use of the devices, including damage to organs, tissues, bones, muscles, ligaments, tendons, joints, and nerves. It also included other safety recommendations, including not aiming the device at a suspect's eyes. A 239-page training manual published by Taser International last November urges officers to use multiple shocks to subdue suspects, but elsewhere also warns against the practice. Tasers, which are marketed as a non-lethal weapon, have been linked to around 150 deaths in the U.S. and Canada since 2001. After Taser International released its warning this week, the Gwinnett County, Georgia medical examiner has decided to reevaluate the autopsies of two men who died in police custody after being shocked with tasers. Both of the deaths in question occurred after the victims were shocked multiple times with one of the weapons. So far, medical examiners have not established the cause of death of either victim. The police department in DeKalb, Georgia has decided they will no longer use tasers. The department owns 125 of the weapons, which have been taken off the streets and placed in storage. After a 1-year test period which ended in March, police in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, stopped using tasers while data about their effectiveness was evaluated. Last week, it was announced that Milwaukee police officers are now using the weapons again. The department has 25 of the devices and 90 officers who are trained to use them. Other than the killings already reported in this week's program, police also killed people this week in Covina, California, Miami, Florida, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's all for Bad Cop No Donut this week. Feel free to send in your comments and story ideas. The email address for this program is ron@ckln.fm. Thanks to everyone who sent in articles for this week's show. Bad Cop No Donut is produced at CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto and can be heard in British Columbia on CJLY 93.5 FM in Nelson and CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. This week we also welcome new listeners at KOOP 91.7 FM in Austin, Texas. This program is available free of charge to nonprofit broadcasters. Send an email for more information. I'm Ron Anisich, and I look forward to telling you more about the police next week. Yes, boss. Yes, boss. Yes, boss. Yes, boss. Police in helicopter. I search for marijuana. Policemen in the street. Searching for Cali weed. Soldiers in the field, burning the Cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. Soldier in the herb field, burning the Cali weed. Police in helicopter, I search for marijuana. Policemen in the street, searching for Cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane field. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane field.
marijuana. Policemen in the streets searching for cali weed. Policemen in the field burning the cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. We don't trouble your banana, we don't trouble your corn, we don't trouble your pimento, we don't trouble you at all. So if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. Ooh, yeah. Police in helicopter, a search for marijuana. Policemen in the street, searching for cali weed. Policemen in the fields, whoa, yo, burning the cali weed. But if you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. If you continue to burn up the herbs, we gonna burn down the cane fields. Whoa.